What else are you bringing to the table outside of that?
That's it, dude.
So that's what you are.
Show me what you do, and I'll prove to you what you want. I'm fucking sick of hearing people talk about what they want. I'm sick of it. It's so easy to say this is what I want. Fucking right. Prove it to me.
Yeah.
Prove to me that that's what you want.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
We created a text hotline just to add value to you guys as listeners. It's 435-515-3577. If you guys have questions, anything to do with your taxes, shoot us a text.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Business Owners Podcast. I've got myself, Kale, and Trev Dog in the house.
What's good? What's good?
And we've got our special guest, Adam Smith.
Hello.
And you guys, I'm super...
Is it Adam or Big Steve that we've got on the show?
It depends. Yeah. Depends on what character you want to show up.
Yeah. We're going to start with Adam. You guys will get to know Big Steve later.
Give me a couple of bourbons, Big Steve will show up.
Yeah. No, let's do it. Get some. Hey, I honestly was super excited to have... I'm excited to have you on.
I appreciate it, dude.
And I know Trev is as well. No doubt. But I was just telling him as I was walking up, because Hailey told me a little bit about him, and for whatever reason, when I hopped on the phone with you to talk about this event that you're out here speaking with us on, I was like talking all fast. I got like all nervous around him, right? Like he has like this crazy ability to just like, I don't know, you keep people honest.
I feel like I do a good job of that. Yeah, I do. I feel like it. It's the thing.
But and watching you in action today too, leading the breakouts, I'm like, oh my gosh, man, you have a special gift.
Yeah.
So no, I don't know where this conversation is going to go today, but I'm excited about it.
No, so. I really believe that too. And I know that a lot of people saw that today as well, you know, and I don't know if, you know, if you understand the gift that you have or if you're aware of it, or seems hyper like aware of it. I'm not certain of it, but
I just like what I do.
Yeah.
I know. I really legitimately love what I do. Like, it doesn't matter if I'm teaching dudes how to shoot. It doesn't matter if I'm teaching dudes how to fight. It doesn't matter if I'm like talking about perspective. It doesn't matter if we're cutting through the bullshit. I really fucking love what I do, man.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't happen very often that you have an opportunity to do what you love, make a living doing what you love, finding fulfillment and purpose and feeding the family all at the same time. Like, that shit doesn't happen very often, dude. Yeah, you know, it just
so true.
Guys are constantly battling about trying to figure out why they do what they do. Like, what's my purpose and what's my why? And we're trying to get into these concepts of existential conversations about all this fucking high-minded shit. But at the end of the day, like, I fucking love what I do, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really do. So that humbles me. I really appreciate that. That's a major compliment for me, like, big time.
And I love what you do too. Like, when I talk to him on the phone, he's like, hey, just so you know, I do events like this and I teach leadership through shooting and targets and, you know, everything, man, relationships. And I'm like, sign me up for all of it, you know, like, because you can tell he's just send truly great at what he does.
We'll check out the cart with all of the checklists on the way down.
Select all, pay.
It was cool to talk to you guys because, you know, look, man, like John called me. It was a really cool conversation. John called me. He's like, hey, dude, look, I got some two really good guys. They run a phenomenal mastermind. They're really legitimate. This is the piece that sold me, right? Because I don't like to get involved with things that I can't get behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's really important to me that the values align and the core values. Yeah, 100%. And I trust Hailey. And Hailey was like, guys, like I've got these two guys. They're phenomenal dudes. They have a phenomenal mastermind. They're young in the mastermind space and they're creating success and they're actually helping other people create success in their life. And I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Like, are we shooting?
I'm in. What are we doing? Do I have to show up my pants on or can I take my pants off? Like, how's this going to go?
And I'm open.
And my son, let's go. So Hailey's like, he's like, look, I think it would be beneficial if you came and brought your energy and speak. And I was like, dude, fuck, let's go, bro. Yeah. Like, how can I be of service? And it was so cool because when I talked to John, I dove into Real Business Owners.
Oh, cool.
The whole world.
Whole thing, yeah.
I did as much research as I could on you guys to understand who you were. Mm, did as much research as I could on RBO to understand exactly what it was and exactly what you guys were doing. I listened like 4 or 5 of your podcasts back to back. Like, I was getting worked on sitting in my office and I just had it going all fucking day. Like, probably 5 hours of podcasts that I listened to. No shit. And I was like, fuck, man, like, Like, this is solid. Like, dudes that give a shit, dudes that understand the concept of mentality and perspective, which is super important, guys that are creating success and building wealth, guys that are feeding their family and doing it, and they have a solid purpose behind it. Like, how can you not get behind something that good, man?
Yeah.
And you guys, like, well, you hear that? That was my, that was Steve wanted to come out for a second. Steve wanted to come out for a second. Hey, guys. You guys are legitimately good dudes.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And I've been around long enough, and I've done some of this shit long enough to meet guys that put on a really good facade. They put on a really good show. And when it's time for the curtain to come down, their personality shifts and changes. Right. And I've had a chance to meet you guys behind the curtain.
Yeah. Right?
And you are who you are. Yeah. And I really appreciate that a lot. Because like what you see on social media is
it's too hard to keep up with though, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, cause you could try to, and I think anybody that starts trying to get into that game thinks that they have to be something that they aren't.
Yeah.
That who they are today is not good enough to compete in that social media world.
Yeah.
That's their internal bias just about self, right?
So
do you do? You create a facade.
Yep. Yeah. A character.
A character or whatever you're trying to. You're trying to emulate somebody that you think is a badass, but it just don't feel or look right because that's just not you. You're not honoring self.
Yep.
You're trying to be a copy version of somebody else that's living their life at a high level, which is inspiring you. But guess what? If you did the same thing and was true to self, you'd be doing that for somebody else.
But
they
don't even know sometimes. Yeah. They're just like doing what they think they're supposed to be doing.
That's 100%.
And I think sometimes it starts with copying people that you do look up to. Let's
be real though. Emulation is the greatest form of flattery.
Absolutely.
And I won't say copying because copying is bullshit. But to emulate someone else, I think that there's a difference between emulating someone else exactly how they do a thing and being able to emulate the characteristics and traits of the individual that you want to emulate yourself. I will never say I want to be more like a person.
Right? Yeah.
I don't. I want to be more like me who can really truly exude those characteristics and personal traits that I know are within me already.
Yep.
Right? Yes. That I haven't actually found the excellence in application.
Well, how I do it is I look at somebody and I say, if I have admiration for them, I ask myself why. What is it that I admire about that person?
Yeah.
Is it their integrity? Is it their character? I want to have those same traits.
Yeah.
And so what are these people doing that I admire? You know, that individual, I look up to that individual. They talked about reading a lot. It made me a little bit more open-minded because I identified with that individual and they didn't seem like a reader. You know what I mean? And
bro, you're definitely a knuckle dragger. You're reading books?
Like, yeah.
I read books at a sixth grade level. What do you want to talk about?
So I'm like, okay, if he's then I should start doing that. And that's healthy. That's something good.
Yeah.
And I take traits. If somebody's like a Goggins, that inspires me. I see that guy running long distances and I think that that's cool. So I'm like, what's behind that?
Sure.
Obviously, there's some dopamine. There's something going on there at a very high, high level. And I want to experience what that feels like for myself.
Yeah.
Right. So you could take bits and pieces, but I'm not going to be Goggins
or
be somebody else.
No.
I can be a runner.
Well, you can. No. It's not even that. You're not even a runner. See, this fuck, dude. This is the shit. So today's a perfect example. So for those of you that are listening right now, you may not be watching, but if you are, hi.
Yeah.
but if you're just
Big
listening,
Mike says hi.
So how's it going? Yeah. It's good to see you.
Slide into the DMs.
If you're what's up? You can slide into the DMs. If you're listening, just understand. So right now, what's happening? We're actually coming to you from the Real Business Owners Mastermind happening in Laguna Beach.
Yep.
And today was a phenomenal opportunity for guys to hear really powerful speakers talk about some real legitimate powerful experiences and gain some wisdom, I would say, and some lessons on how to apply that shit into the world.
Yeah.
One of the pieces that I hate, because I had this problem too, right, is this concept of identity. There's a conversation about business tactics, okay? And we talked about this earlier. The tactics is nothing more than the combination or the application of mechanics and mentality.
Right.
And so if we strip away mechanics for 1 second, we just go to mentality. If we start with mentality and we start in that world, we can look at mentality with three principal things, and that's identity, purpose, and mission. Right? So mechanics is simple. Mechanics is the how you do a thing.
Yeah.
It's super simple. Like, how do you tie your shoe?
Yeah,
I can give you literally a paragraph on it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like, mechanics is super simple. Yeah. You can teach a monkey mechanics. Mechanics is fucking simple.
Yeah.
Anybody can do mechanics. The mentality piece gets lost on people. It is identity, purpose, and mission. And identity, purpose, and mission revolves around vision, mission, core values. Mm-hmm. And if you understand that for the business, then you get that from identity, purpose, and mission of self. And this is a problem that I have. So many dudes, we talked about this at length today. Mm. So many dudes tie their identity directly to their target or to their business.
Yes, right.
Yeah, or to whatever, quote, title. I'm a CEO. I'm a dad. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a big fuck. You are not any of those things. Those are things that you do.
Right.
Mm. You
so
like,
glad we're talking about this.
Fuck, it's your identity is not defined by the do's of your life.
Right.
Your identity is the thing that drives you to do in your life.
Right.
That's the fucking difference.
Right.
And guys are looking for an answer. They're, hey, you know what? I want the tactical application of this. Okay, let's have a conversation about where you actually, what's the actual problem? Business development, gentlemen, I fucking love this guy. He's amazing. He came to tears. I won't say his name because I don't want to embarrass him. Really good dude. Giant heart, has made huge changes inside of his business, but he's taken over a large business that's doing over $8 million in gross a year.
Right.
And he's changed the culture on how he interacts with the lowest level guys in the company as a CEO. Phenomenal heart.
Yeah.
And the conversation started off with business development. I'm having a problem breaking to the next level. And I'm like, how unhappy are you? Well, I didn't even talk about business.
Right.
Like, just how unhappy are you? And there was a silent pause.
Sure.
And he kind of looked at me and I was like, because I'll be honest with you, bro. Like, you look unhappy. You like exude being unhappy right now. Like, all of your energy says you're fucking unhappy as fuck. And like a man, right? Like a man, like, oh, I mean, look, man, there's some stressors in my life and there's some things that I'm dealing with.
The
like
defense
kind of. Yeah. We all like, no. Time out. Like, what? You have formed an identity around the success or failure of your company.
Right.
You have formed an identity around being a problem solver and a rescuer for your company.
Yep.
If you are an owner of a business, your identity cannot be tied to the company. Your identity cannot be the problem solver of the company. Your identity must be tied directly to who you are. And who you are is a creator of solutions.
Yep.
You are an impact maker. Like, you took on this challenge because you want to change fucking lives. And it doesn't matter if you're a financial advisor. It doesn't matter if you're selling real estate. It doesn't matter if you're doing executive protection work. It doesn't matter if you're teaching people how to shoot. It doesn't matter if you're fucking teaching people how to read. It doesn't matter what your job is, what your company does.
Right.
It's about creating impact.
Right.
Your identity has to be tied to that. Your identity of the I am. Because look, you know who I am? I'm Adam. I'm fucking Adam. That's who I am. And I want to exude the characteristics traits that I want to exude the most that drives me the direction of the man that I want to be.
Right.
My purpose, create impact in the world.
Right.
I get to define it. It's the best fucking part, dude. I get to define my purpose.
Right.
My mission is how I ever choose to deliver it.
Yeah.
My mission is how I get to choose how I deliver my purpose into the world.
How much depression do you see of people that their identity revolves around their goals? And then, like, say, I'm gonna be a pro athlete, and their whole identity is becoming this pro athlete.
Yeah.
They blow out their ACL, they can't be that pro athlete anymore.
Lost.
And now they're like the most depressed person on the planet.
My identity was Green Beret.
Right.
My identity was Green Beret. Right. When I got out of the Army, I was a Green Beret.
So what shifted then?
Well, I put a pistol in my mouth.
Mm. Yeah.
That simple. You got to a low spot.
I put a pistol in my mouth in the lowest place in my life. I drank every drop of alcohol in the house. My fiance at the time, we were making less than $18,000 a year joint. This is 6 years ago, a little under 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So this is well, a little six and some change. I drank every drop of alcohol in the house. I wrote my suicide note. My fiance left to go to work. She was in an internship program. She actually gave up her job that she had gotten at a hospital but well before I met her, and decided to go back to school, get her master's program. And I made the choice to get out of the military. And I didn't know who I was anymore at all. I was fucking no identity, dude. My identity was the hat that I wore on my head.
Yeah.
So it was a Wednesday morning in January. I drank every drop of alcohol in the house, wrote my suicide note, sat on the couch, looked at my Glock, put a pistol in my mouth. Only reason why I didn't pull the trigger is because I was so drunk, I passed out.
Wow.
Mm. When I came to, my fiance was coming in the back door of the house at the end of her workday. It's like 6:30, 7 p.m. that night. This happened at 10 a.m. in the morning. At least that was my recollection. And I still had the gun in my hand.
Yeah.
And the suicide note on the table. And I had to try to hide the suicide note. And she walked in and got super pissed off because I hadn't done fuck all for the day except for drink all the alcohol in the house.
Yeah.
And played with my gun. It was that moment that I had to try and figure out whether or not I was who I thought I was, or I was going to be somebody different.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the answer. I just knew that I couldn't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
I just know that I couldn't be that guy. And I had a very good friend of mine, former Navy SEAL, that gave me a hand up. And he gave me a call. And almost every podcast tell the same story because I think that it's really important to hear. Yeah. I think it's important to hear to a new group of people that you have to hear the bottom of the barrel. And this is not a fucking, you know, come from rags to riches story. It's not the case. Like, the next day I got a phone call from my buddy. He called me. He's like, are you back in town? I'm like, yeah. He's like, hey, dude, like, I could use some help. What are you doing next week? Like, literally, in my mind, I'm like, I'll lick the shit off your toilet. Are we working? Can I make money? Well, I'll do whatever it fucking takes.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to Ohio. I want you to come with me. So I went to Ohio, went to Northern Ohio. We're supposed to train like 14, 17 guys. We trained 43 fucking guys for 5 days. We got done. We had agreed upon a daily rate. We came back to the office, which was in Louisville, about 3 hours away. We sat down in his office. It's a Friday evening. And he gave me a check for twice as much as what we'd agreed upon. And he said, don't argue with me. I know where you are. I see it on your face.
Yeah.
This is not a handout. Don't get it fucking twisted. Put this money in your bank account. Pay your bills. Get put gas in your truck. Put food in your refrigerator. And he reached in his pocket and gave me $500 cash. And he said, this is for you and your girl to go out this weekend and just do something. Yeah. Go get a steak
get
dinner.
Get rid of the stress.
Yeah, go get a steak dinner. Have a fucking bourbon. Like, go get some new pants. This is my investment into you. I want you to be a part of this company. And if you want to be a part of it, be back here on Monday. If you don't, that's okay. But if you do, be back here on Monday. And I truly believed in the depths of my fucking soul that I owed that man a life debt.
Yeah.
So Monday morning, I woke up at 3 a.m. and I was at the office at 6.
Yeah.
And those motherfuckers didn't show up until 9. I sat in the fucking the parking lot for like 3 hours, twiddling my thumb, trying to figure out the fuck I was going to do for the day.
That's where Big Steve was created.
That's where Big Steve gets so angry, bored. I created Big
Steve. That's why he's still upset about it.
And here's the thing. He showed up, and literally over the next 3.5 years or so, this is my first taste in the reality of what value actually looked like.
Yeah.
Mm. The shit that you did, not who you are. The shit that you did is an experience that builds upon who you are. And that becomes the value you get to offer to the next person.
Yeah.
I didn't die. I made it home. I'll take that all day long.
Right.
Now I have a responsibility to share that value with someone else. And so for 3.5 years, I trained law enforcement officers all over the country. We train guys from fucking Wisconsin and Michigan all the way down to Louisiana, all the way to North Carolina.
When you say train them, train them to do what?
Train them in close quarters, train them in shooting, tactics, mentality.
I was going to say mindset.
The whole nine yards, the conversation. One of the number one things that I had to train law enforcement officers on was the understanding that your badge does not protect you.
Mm.
Because if I'm a bad guy, I don't care about the law, I don't care about the badge. Your badge doesn't protect you. You have to think better. You have to have a different perspective and a different mentality. You have to show up better.
Let's talk about that real quick, because you talked about being an asset outside of being an asset financially today.
Yeah.
And that I think is just a cool concept. It's easy to digest and easy to swallow and understand. And there's plenty of people that are listening that I believe may be doing good financially and be an asset in that aspect. But I want you to kind of elaborate on how one-sided that is, right?
So, man, I got into this game. I'll say the personal development game really truly in 2018. There's a lot of personal growth that happened, and the conversation that I heard over and over and over and over and over and over again with everybody was how to create wealth, how to build money, how to build wealth, how to build, like, how do you protect your family with wealth, how do you protect your family with insurance and all these fucking investment strategies and trust funds and trusts. And dude, there's so many different concepts around wealth strategy. So what we're doing is we're creating protective assets around money. But we're forgetting the number one fucking piece. Like, what's the point of having wealth if you don't have physical protection?
Right.
Like, if you are not a physical asset to your family, then all you are...
Or even to yourself.
If you're not a physical asset to yourself and your family and your community, then you're nothing more than a printer of dollars.
Right. Well,
that's your job.
Yeah.
But if
you're not bringing value in that aspect, I would consider almost that being a drain to society, because you're not bringing value to society to a certain extent.
I don't know.
If you're not living to your fullest potential,
I think that you're doing humanity somewhat of a disservice because you're creating a lower barrier of what's considered average or norm.
Yeah.
Because the average looks next to the next person and determines what they can do.
It's a celebration of mediocrity.
And it's like a step, but it's a step down. I think it gets worse and worse and worse because somebody's creating a new lower layer and it's just more expanding and it's bringing down.
Yeah. Have you ever read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning?
No.
So Viktor Frankl says he actually does it. I don't know if he writes it in Man's Search for Meaning, but he has there's a YouTube video that you can find of one of his seminars that he put on at a college university or university, a college university. It's fucking same thing. So he says, if you take a man as he is, you make him less. But if you take a man as he could be, he can become as he should be. And it's this idea that if we take a man as he is, then we never give him a thing to achieve, and we actually make him less than what he could be. But if we take a man as he should be, he can become what he could be, which is a higher level. If we shoot for the sun and we hit the moon, that's the concept, right?
Right.
So this, in the same aspect of what you're talking about, you diminish yourself by only focusing on one facet of life. If your sole facet of focus is wealth creation, you diminish yourself in all aspects of who you are as a person, male or female, doesn't fucking matter. And if you want to create yourself to be a true asset, then you have to be educated and experienced in wealth creation and financial success and security, but physical security and physical success has to be a part of it. And it's a part that we don't talk about.
Yeah.
You and I talked about this morning, right? Like what?
I love it.
You have physical health, you have mental health. That actually ties directly into business and financial health.
Right.
It all ties together. It's definitive and it's unquestionable that it all ties together. And it also goes into, check it out, like, bro, if your sole focus is on mental health and you turn into a fucking fat body that gets tired walking upstairs and you're exhausted 24/7 and you're resentful towards your business and your family because you believe that they only see you as one aspect of what you're supposed to be, like, I'm just a fucking ATM. Cool. You have no mental health. Got it. So you've diminished yourself as a whole person.
What else are you bringing to the table outside of that?
That's it, dude.
So that's what you are.
Show me what you do. And I'll prove to you what you want. I'm fucking sick of hearing people talk about what they want. I'm sick of it. It's so easy to say this is what I want. Fucking prove it to me.
Yeah.
Prove to me that that's what you want. That's the reason why I do what I do. It's the reason why I started Savage Freedom. Savage Consulting has a DBA called Savage Freedom's Defense. Cool. It's literally the reason why I do what I do. Because I take business owners and entrepreneurs who believe they know what it is to be tough.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I fucking teach them how to actually be a greater asset to their family. Because here's the thing, dude. Look, we're living in times where we're seeing an uptick in violent crime. We're seeing an uptick in random acts of violence. We're seeing an uptick in ambushes against law enforcement officers. We're seeing an uptick against gangland violence taking place. We're seeing an uptick in robberies. We're seeing, and here's the other thing. You want to talk about facts. Every 10 points of inflation, crime increases 100%.
Think about that. There's more people that are poor and broke and desperate.
Unrest.
Survival mode.
It's pure unrest.
Yeah.
Right.
So every 10 points of inflation, we see sectors of the economy with 14, 17, 38% inflation.
Right.
And they're talking about, we can talk about an average inflation rate of like 9.6%, which is the peak. They said it was the peak, right? But in reality, we're at 9.6, 9.7%. That's fucking 10 points. We're at 10 points. That's a 100% increase in violence.
Right.
And you're making money. You drive a nice car. You wear a nice watch. What's your situational awareness look like when you get out of your vehicle? How often have you got your head buried in your phone?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool. You know how to create financial security. How you create physical security?
Right.
How are you going to be the total man, not just the money man?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If there was ever chaos and there's people that have to protect people, and when I say a drain on society to a certain extent, I'm saying even in chaotic situations, that's more people that can't come to the front lines and to serve and protect. So it makes it more difficult for those that can do that.
That's
right?
fair. Yeah, that's
and
fair.
And so are you really being prepared for whatever? Like, it's not a matter if it happens or if it doesn't happen, but if it did, are you ready?
That's right.
That's just all it comes down to. And when you know that you're ready for whatever, your confidence and self-worth goes through the fucking roof.
Oh, yeah.
Because You're just like, put me in any situation. I put myself in so many situations, and I can thrive in chaos. My body can be beat up and hurt. My mind can take me further.
And I can still function.
And I'm in control.
Yep.
Right?
So there's so many cliche phrases, and I love them, right? It's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. Right? Yeah. I have a tattooed on my arm, Sivus Passum Parabellum. Yeah. If you want peace, prepare for war. Yeah.
Yes.
Right? There's a concept behind the idea of preparation, and it's not being a prepper. It's not being a prepper. It's not that crazy shit. It's about physical and mental stress inoculation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. When chaos erupts all around you, are you the calm in the storm or are you the storm?
Exactly.
You can be both. You can be both. But do you know how to implement those tactics, the combination of mechanics and mentality, right? Mm. Do you know when to tactically apply said mechanics and the mentality that's required to conduct extreme violence? Because I'll tell you right now, if somebody comes...
physical capability to even perform that.
And that's the thing. If somebody comes after your family right now, if somebody tries to snatch one of your children away from you while you're walking in the parking lot, are you going to go, oh no, let's call the police? Are you going to turn around and lose your shit?
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, in your mind, if you're like, yeah, I think I can defend my family, but you don't know.
No.
Right? And someone's walking off with your baby girl, your daughter.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I'm going to die trying. Okay, but you're dead now.
Exactly.
So that doesn't do anything for your daughter.
It doesn't. And you know what?
Nobody also thinks that they're going to have a fucking stroke or a heart attack.
At 37.
You know what I mean? Like,
at 42.
Of course, nobody thinks that's going to happen, or nobody's prepared for that to happen. There's a lot of things that will happen that you are going to be unprepared for, but what are you doing to put yourself in a situation where your mentality is right no matter the circumstance the environment?
It's not. You can't prepare for every situation.
You can prepare you
to respond to any situation.
Right, exactly right.
And it's the same thing in business. I fucking love it too. We talked about this earlier. It's so much fun. I fucking love this shit. Like, I love poking buttons.
I can tell.
I like
squirms.
Poking buttons.
People squirm.
Poking buttons. Yeah. I love poking buttons.
Oh yeah.
That's what he said the first time we had to call. He's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna piss some people off. It's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be a great time. This is gonna be a great time. Yeah.
Like, I'm a professional at it.
It's like, I'm actually really good at pissing people. I'm a professional asshole. This is big Ace Steve. Seriously, guys, I'm a professional asshole. Don't worry. Yeah. I'm gonna pour you amazing drinks.
Big loving asshole.
Big Steve loves professional assholes. And Big Adam's a professional asshole. So that's why they go well.
They go well in hand. Yeah. You know? It's always fun to have the conversation with guys that are having a hard time.
Yeah.
And it's fun for me because when you're emotionally objective, you're not sucked into that subjectivity of where they are. You're not, you know, it's not right here in front of your face. It's not at the end of your nose. For those of you who can't see, but listen, I'm giving hand gestures when we're doing a podcast. And so it's always enjoyable to listen to problems.
Yeah.
Because when you're in an objective position, you're like, duh.
Yeah.
Like, yep. That's a problem. You know why that's a problem? Can we come to the conclusion on this? And it's not a problem with business. It's legitimately never a problem with business. It's just fucking not.
Yeah.
It's always a problem of self, one way or another. Either you're not clear with the target that you want, either you haven't done enough research on systems to implement, you haven't hired the right person to fill a gap, and you're continuing to do the role yourself.
You're not showing up in the way you need to.
There's a giant laundry. And you know, Jocko wrote a book, Extreme Ownership, and it's a good book to an extent, but the problem is it misses a piece. In a lot of ways, you kind of become a martyr in his book. That's the reason why I wrote a second book, which I'm really glad he did.
Dichotomy.
Yeah, the dichotomy.
Yeah. I liked it better than.
So did I, because it really expanded upon the understanding that as a leader, it's my responsibility, and you, as part of my team, you also have responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the first book, it was all about, no, you own it, you own it, you own it. I'm like, let's have a conversation about, you know, personal ownership.
If you're a real team,
board,
everybody's trying to take ownership.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the crucial piece. But when you are a leader, quote unquote, a leader that hasn't created a culture of leadership in your company, then you are a martyr to the problems of your company.
Right.
And that comes back to personal preparedness.
Yeah.
It comes back to personal mentality. It comes back to, how do you thrive in chaos? Or are you creating
personal
chaos?
Honesty.
That's a big piece too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're just not being honest with themselves.
They're not. And again,
it's easier to point out a problem in the business and not look in the mirror.
Yeah,
that's an easier thing to do.
It's of course it is.
There's an extreme amount of humility that has to go there too. You know what I mean? Like, because we've been there recently, and we're like, holy shit, man! Like, we actually need to be humble enough or have enough humility to bring in some people that have more experience in this than us.
Yeah.
Like, if we can't get our team to lead at the level that they need to lead at, it's because we don't have the assets to get them to lead at that level, so we need to bring some people that can.
Yep, that's
right. You know, and it's like, we've never been there before, right? And that takes a lot of humility, and so that's been a big lesson for me the last few years.
Yeah.
Big lesson.
There's a real power in recognizing what you know you don't know and accepting that.
Yeah.
You know what? I know I don't know this.
Right.
Got it. So my business partner is a phenomenal person. He owns multiple companies. We're doing a new project together. It's fucking super. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah. So when you told us about
it. The Savage Training Institute. This is going to be huge.
Yeah.
We're going to build a large training compound.
And I would say if there's any time in history that something like that is needed, it's right now.
I don't disagree at all. Right. I agree 100%. I mean? And that's the reason why we're doing it.
And I think a lot of people feel that. I think even a lot of men feel that.
Yeah.
They want to feel like a man.
They do. There's a huge disconnect in modern society around that world. But he always said, and I love what he says the most about it, and I want to talk about that because that's important. But I want to make sure I share the wisdom of a man who is my business mentor.
Right.
He said, Adam, I'm not the smartest man in the room because I have all the answers. I'm the smartest man in the room because I hired all the smartest people to have the answers. Right. And I was like, hey, Roger that, dude. Yeah. Like,
simple enough.
It's fucking simple, bro. And it was so cool to hear him say that because that's kind of what we do in the special operations community, especially as a Green Beret and from the Special Forces. We train guys in as a subject matter expert to have the answers in that field.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they become the advisor, they become the consultant, and then they ultimately become the operator of that subject matter expertise. And it's cool because it's a similar concept, you know. It's cool to hear that from a guy who is so successful in business that's a reality out here in the civilian market.
Mm-hmm. How it applies and the similarities between both.
Right. Yeah, and I don't want to drop that other piece because that's important.
What?
Like the fact
men
that
they, want
to... Yeah, fuck, dude.
I think everybody... gets to a point in life, I think everybody's going to hit a low. Life will do that to 100% of human beings.
No matter what.
Right? And so we ask ourselves a lot of questions when we're at a low spot. Some people do something with the answers and then some people don't, but I think everybody knows that they should be doing something
different. Well, I don't want to say should, because I don't put guilt on people for not taking action. I'm just saying you could do something. Like, you have the opportunity to do something when you become aware that there's an opportunity to do it. And it's important... Because if I say you should be doing a thing, then I'm applying my perspective on what I'm going to do onto you. Yeah. But I think you could do it. Hey, bro, you know what you could do? This is an option. You could do this. Just take it if you would consider this for a second. You could, maybe, potentially, if you choose to not be a bitch about it, do X, Y, and Z. I don't know if you should do it.
There's a way to posture that.
I don't know if you should do it, but you could. It's a possibility. Yeah. And here's the other piece. Let's talk about masculinity for a second, because the mastermind deals with a lot of men. There are some women in it, but there are a lot of men. And here's the kicker. Masculinity is about it's energy. It's not about men or women. It's about energy, right? Masculine, feminine. It's about the energy that we exude as humans.
Yes.
Right? The reason why we call females is because they exude feminine. Most of the time, feminine is like F-E, right? Feminine. Yeah. So it ties in together. Same thing with male masculinity. It's all a derivative of the Latin base word. So if we understand that, then it's the average response of men is to exude masculine traits.
Yes.
Masculinity has been fucking demonized.
Yeah, definitely has.
Across the board.
Right.
It's toxic. If you're a man that has an opinion and you work hard and you provide for your family, you have any kind of concept of conservative values or conservative beliefs.
You're an enemy of the system.
You're not only an enemy of the system, but you're an enemy of everyone that disagrees with you.
Yeah.
Right.
Everyone. And it was made public, and I don't know if you get into politics, but it was made public by the president about a week ago when he decided to say that if you support X, Y, or Z, like if you're a MAGA extremist, and then he went on to say Republican, then you are an, quote, clear and present danger to the national security of the United States.
Yeah, you're a terrorist.
Let me tell you this right now. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight up. I don't fucking care. FBI, I don't give a shit who you send to my house. Fuck you all day long. And the reason why I said is because we as American citizens have responsibility to uphold the foundational principles of the Constitution.
No doubt.
And that foundational principle means, the reason why I named my company Savage Freedoms, because we have a duty to savagely practice our freedoms on a daily basis.
Mm.
Fucking all of them.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of the press, freedom to own firearms, freedom to vote. You fucking name it, bro. They are fucking codified in the Constitution.
To get the fuck after it.
100%, dude. Yeah. Go fucking get it every day. Don't be a bitch and go sit on the couch and fuck your politics.
Yeah.
Don't apologize, bro. That shit fires me up. I want to fight some bitches right now.
Dude, that's what I know. Dude, politics.
Don't, not me. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen his thighs. They're...
Yeah, like
we, thick, we, you know? I don't know. Yeah, like we got the challenge is to beat Ryan's show, right? What do I got to do? Got to show my ass? Is that what the deal is? I'm gonna show my ass. We have that in the blip in the front.
We're not gonna go there, dude. We might not even air that episode. You know? So no, I'm kidding.
That's
no.
literally not figuratively.
Yeah, yeah.
We figuratively Steve, show ass on a regular basis.
We'll send it to Big Steve.
Yeah, that's right.
Big Steve will enjoy a couple excerpts from that one.
We're definitely getting this podcast canceled after that last phrase.
Oh, that's the clip that's going to go on the Instagram, right?
Yeah, that'll be. I think Corey told them, make sure you beat the views.
Yeah, he did. That, Where's he at? Well, he fucking said the challenge was on. It's on. Let's go, son. So let's go.
I think we've got that like the headliner that'll capture the.
Bro.
Fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you. Yeah. And then people are like, okay, what does he got to say?
There's the pattern.
Yeah, who's he cussing? Yeah. Who is this guy cussing?
He seems intelligent. What does he got to say?
That's a very intelligent retort.
Yeah, exactly. Listen to the fucking full show before you judge.
Oh, man.
So,
you're
a good dude. You're a different breed. You're a good dude. You speak your mind. You impact people. Like, how do you get to that point? If somebody wants to get to the point of just being able to serve and impact people at the level that you're doing it, what's the path that they go down? Because I honestly believe that most people's, like, our purpose is one, to serve ourselves at the highest level so that we have the ability to serve people that need it, right?
It's like Jordan Peterson is like, a good man is a dangerous man. So how do you become a good man and a dangerous man? That's what you're teaching men how to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you can't be a good man unless you're dangerous. You actually can't be a peaceful man unless you're capable of extreme violence. Because... if you're not capable of conducting extreme violence, then you're not being peaceful. You're being weak.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have the ability to, it's like you can't be courageous unless you have fear.
Mm.
Right. It's the same concept.
Right.
It's the dichotomy of expression, the dichotomy of energy. You can't have one if you don't have the other. And first of all, to say that I'm impacting people at such a high level, I would debate with you on that, on whether I'm impacting people at such a high level. But I appreciate that statement. That actually, you have no idea how much that means to hear, first of all.
No. I don't know your history and what you've done up to this point. I know you are, and I know that you will. Like, you could just tell.
Watch
like,
you today.
I'm a big frequency, vibration type person. And when you're around an individual that's of impact, that is literally changing people on the spot... that's like a special, special thing. And that's something that you rarely, rarely see, right? Mm. And so, like, what I told Corey, I said, it's always fun to watch somebody do what they're great at.
Mm, I don't disagree.
And I just, like, love watching somebody in their element that's just, again, they're vibrating at such a high frequency because that's their thing. And they're just, and you're just kind of in awe watching them be great at their thing.
Dude, thank
you. You know what I mean? So it's like, whether you have or have, you will, you are, you know, all of those things are happening, you know, in a big, big way.
I appreciate that. That's one of my, that's fucking dude, what a compliment.
And it's easy for me to say that because all it was legitimately me talking about what I witnessed, right? It's like, I don't have to make that shit up. Like, it's an observation. That's all it was. I was observating an individual doing what they're extremely great at and then literally watching people that you pushed to their core and made them squirm want to be next to you even after it was all said and done. Like when the breakout tables were over, the two people that you were the harshest on that you made squirm the most, that was exactly what they needed.
Mm.
And literally there's a light switch in people's minds, right? Mm. And our job is to do as many things and have as many experiences to see if we can flip that light switch for ourselves or put ourselves in environments that are smart. Mastermind, there's going to be a lot of great people there. Maybe if I put myself there, I'll find that light switch, that moment for me. And it's like you're that... you're the guy turning on light switches at a high rate. Right, like sometimes people say something and one person can resonate with that individual and other people won't. But like to be able to watch you do it in different situations and scenarios and be so precise and make those individuals really go deep inside to the point where they're squirming. You know, they're not comfortable in their body and in their mind, being real with themselves.
You want to see squirming? I'm squirming right now.
Yeah,
you got me squirming right now. Yeah, I don't take praise very well because we don't do what we do for praise. I appreciate that. Yeah. No, really, like it means a lot.
It lights you up to see other people. Have the aha moment.
I love what I do.
And that's what's special.
I love what I do. And I think I what makes me super uncomfortable, and I receive that all the way. I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me. That it really does. Like that's I don't know what to say. Like, this is the first time I've probably done 12 or 15 podcasts this year, and I don't know what to fucking say right now. I'm kinda lost for words. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just that.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you for showing up the way that you did, you know, for those individuals. That means a lot. That means a lot because, like, that's our job, you know, is to put something on that's impactful and to be able to watch you come into that setting and be able to do just that. That's special for us because we're honoring them. And the investment that they made into themselves. And so to be able to watch that be delivered, like, and visually be able to see that, that was special to be able to watch
them
get what they came for.
I suck at compliments, dude. I fucking suck at them. And I suck at them.
Yeah, you could tell me nice things right now if you would like. I'm really
He's
good.
He's like, give it to me.
Like, just, I'll sit back I'll just take my hands behind my head.
I suck, and you know, it's because I don't like, dude. When you're on the teams, when you're in the special operations community in general,
you're not supposed to take all the credit.
You don't ever do anything for recognition.
Yeah,
you don't. You do it because it's the thing to do.
The right thing to do.
It's the thing to do. Yeah. It's like why did you do what you did? Well, because my buddy was going to get hurt, or it's a job that needed to get done. Like you do what you do because that's what you do.
Yeah.
And transferring to the civilian market's been hard for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't speak the same language. I don't have the same energy. I don't communicate the same way. I'm a fucking different breed.
Good.
And I understand that I am. And I don't think I'm ever going to fit in. I don't really want to fit in. However, with that being said, there's been a challenge in translating whatever value that I can bring to the table.
Right.
And there was very early on in the transition, it was hard to translate that. It's gotten better. I've gotten better because I understand now, like, hey, dude, I actually have some value that I can bring from my past experience. But you still don't do what you do for recognition. Like, you're not, you don't do what you do to seek. You guys don't do what you do to seek. You didn't start a podcast to have, what, millions of views and followers.
Yeah.
You didn't fucking do that. Wait, we talked about it. It happened.
Yeah.
You're like, shit, bro, it fucking blew up. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing.
Nobody says, let's start a podcast that has seven figures in downloads.
No, like, yeah, like.
You're just like, hey, maybe that would help. Maybe it'll help me get some content for social media.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You don't create to create impact, to seek recognition and praise. You create to create impact because it's who you are and you want to see people be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times with praise, okay, is that when you catch yourself seeking praise, you actually have to be honest with yourself to realize like it's actually an unhealthy place to be, right? Because now you're asking for somebody else or something externally to like give you a sense of significance or confidence when you should have that already inside of you. So if you're seeking it from some outside source, which we're all programmed to do, when our parents tell us good job, like we're telling ourselves that from we're like little children that like when we look at mom and dad for acceptance, you know, like we're looking for that praise and it's like a drug. We get addicted to it, right?
Yeah,
like, so then we spend our whole life seeking praise. And so when you realize that and you do enough growth and, you know, you start figuring this out and you actually get honest with yourself and you're like, I don't need recognition because I already have it inside me. I don't need it from external places. Mm. Now you're actually in a healthy place where you can actually then start impacting other people.
You can.
Right.
And but yes, you can. I don't want to disqualify what you said, but I'll add an and to it.
Right.
You can. And let's be real. Selfishness is selfishness.
Right.
Like you walk the old lady across the street because it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Right? Like right. you open the door for your girl when she walks in the door because it makes you feel good.
Yeah. But you didn't do it for the guy looking down the street.
Yeah.
You did it for you and her.
Exactly. Right? And you it's the combination is I want to help someone be better and there's an ROI.
It feels good.
It does. It feels good. And so I have this conversation with a buddy of mine. He was having a hard time with his business and he's like, Adam, look, I don't know why I do what I do. And I'm like, well, tell me what you do. He's like, I make money. This is his response. And I was like good. That's a good place to start. Like, that's really solid.
That can be
that's
powerful. Cool.
Do you want to talk about numbers? You want to talk about why you make money? He's like, well, I don't really know why I do what I do. So let's talk about that. Like, why do you make money? Because I want to. Okay. How's it make you feel? Good. Awesome. Are you providing for your family? Yes. Awesome. How many people do you employ? 150. Awesome. How many people, how many people are in those families?
Yeah.
An average of 3 people per household, right? Yeah. Or 3.5 people per household. Cool.
450, now,
multiply that by 150 employees. Yeah. Right. Okay. So how many people are you impacting? He's like, holy fuck.
Right.
I was like, holy fuck what? He's like, dude, that's a lot of people to be responsible for. I'm like, you're just coming to that conclusion now, bro?
Yeah.
Like,
just
now? That's your conclusion? If you go away, your business goes away, guess what? They go away.
Yeah.
Think about that impact that you're creating. Yeah. Pause. Long pause. I need to think about this. Hung up the phone. Didn't even fucking say bye. Just hung up the phone. I was like, all right. Cool, bro. Cool. See you later.
I'll see you later, I guess.
Yeah. And literally, I'm on the road. I'm driving to Missouri. So I'm leaving North Carolina. It's a 10-hour drive. I'm driving to Missouri to train a bunch of dudes out there how to shoot and fight. They're all a bunch of really good fucking guys. They own businesses. They employ a bunch of people. They want to be true assets across the board, right? All modalities of life. So I'm driving out there. Been on the road for 7.5 hours. I had this phone call at 6:30 in the morning. Eastern Standard Time, 6:30 in the morning. I'm on the road for 7.5 hours. I get a call back. Adam, hey, what's up, dude? I figured it out. It's like, what'd you figure out, dog? He's like, I figured out why I do what I do. I was like, because it feels good? And he's like, how'd you know? Like, because we talked about this at the very beginning. Feels good because you actually are creating impact. The problem is that you always thought it was about the dollar, but what you didn't realize is that every time you hired a new person, you hired on their family.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're right. I'm like, and do you realize that? He's like, I do. Like, sweet. So why do you do what you do? He's like, because I want to change their lives too. And I know that I'm capable of creating success and wealth, but I want to see them successful and wealthy too. Roger that, bro. Mm-hmm. Get after it. How much are you going to make this year? How much are you going to make this impact this year? Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And that's, fuck, man. Like, guys are like, well, I have enough. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't. You don't have enough. You will never have enough.
You shouldn't be ashamed of it, man. No, like, you shouldn't be ashamed of wanting more.
No. Not ever. Mm. I had somebody ask me, Adam, when what do you think your number is? Don't have one. When do you think you'll get there? I won't.
Is it because you're enjoying the process and the process will bear the fruit that it's going to bear?
The fruit.
And you just believe that if you honor this and do the right thing and you continue to operate at that type of a level that it's impossible for you not to be rewarded and there's confidence and comfort in
that? No, the reward is the ROI.
Yeah.
But it's not like there's a tangible and intangible ROI on everything that you do. Understand there's a couple of things. One, there's a price and a cost.
Right. Yes.
You have to understand the price before you can pay the cost.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
And you have to understand that if you're willing to do the thing that you want to do, there's a fucking cost to it. You're going to pay the cost of time. You're going to pay the cost of time with your family, time with your business, time with your physical fitness, time with your mental health. You're going to pay the fucking cost. There's a price to pay.
Right.
And I'm either going to get it now or I'm going to get it in a year, but you're going to pay the fucking price.
Right.
You're going to have to because there's a sacrifice to be made. But guess what, bro? That's an investment. And there is an ROI on that investment. So recognize that the price that you're paying now will have a return on investment as long as you take purposeful action. And I will never have enough. Not fucking ever because the fruit is the ROI.
Now, I also say that there's always a visible ROI and there's an invisible
tangible
ROI.
Tangible and intangible. I'm the same way. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
Tangible ROI, put them dollars in the bank account.
Right.
Intangible ROI, how many families can I actually impact? Because that becomes tangible as well with those dollars in the bank account. How many lives can I help support with the dollars in the bank account? How many people can... Look, dude, the reason why I want to build TSTI, the Savage Training Institute, is because I want to be able to hire other special operations dudes that are in transition that are fucking lost in the sauce like I was.
Make you feel better. Right.
I don't want to teach them how to be business guys. I want to give them a fucking salary when they step out of the military that will rival any military salary they ever had in their entire life.
Yeah.
I want them to have full benefits. I want to pay them $150,000 a year.
And you want to show them what it feels like to make to feel good serving other people.
I want to show them what it is to be fulfilled by personally defining their identity, purpose, and mission. My identity was the hat that I wore on my head because that's how I was trained to believe. My purpose was to be better at the job, and my mission was whatever higher command authority gave me. It took me wanting to fucking die when I got out of the military, and then literally years of personal development to try and figure out that I got to define those things. I get to define who the fuck I am. Yeah. I get to define what my purpose in the world is, and I get to define how I deliver it, which is my mission. And I want to show that. I want to fucking take the timeline from flash to bang on these dudes coming out. I don't want to shorten it to like fucking months rather than years.
Yeah.
And then I want to support them in whatever endeavor they want to go on. If they want to stay with the company and just train dudes, let's go.
Yeah.
If you want to start your own endeavor, fuck, I'll invest into it.
Well, just them being around high-level minds in general is going to level them up. They're going to be growing just because of the environment.
Exactly.
And then the other individuals are in an environment around them. So it's like you're almost swapping data and skill sets.
Extent. Yeah, it's absolutely. Like data dump. Yeah.
You can pick their brain. You know, you're just...
It's a brain trust. It's a mastermind. It's a legitimate mastermind.
That's what it is.
It is, but it's a mastermind on a different level.
Yeah. Everybody's winning in that situation, dude.
Yeah.
Everybody. The people that you employ, the people that pay you,
I haven't said this officially yet, so I'm going to say it officially on your podcast. And I'm going to put this out into the universe. I want to create the Savage Empire, and I want to turn it into a $100 million business in 10 years. And I want to affect 1 million lives.
I totally believe that it's possible.
That's what I want to do.
And you will
do it. Lesser amount of time than that. With you and your passion and your fire and your
energy. I'm giving
energy.
Myself some buffer space right now.
Anything less is too much pressure right now. Big Steve's not digging it. We'll negotiate later. We'll see how the first
You keep having goes. Podcasts like this, and momentum's going to make it happen a lot quicker.
This year has been insane, guys. I went from, and I'll tell a story tomorrow when we go live with the guys, but... in September of last year, I literally started with $3,000 in my bank account.
Yeah.
Oh, I started over again.
Mm.
And I've started over again since I got out of the military probably 5 times.
Yeah.
I helped a medical cannabis company through its IPO, phenomenal company called Allied Health. I created a U.S.-facing hemp-derived CBD brand called Tactical Relief. I created 3 other brands for that company, which has got probably a total of, I want to say maybe across the board, probably close to 200 SKUs and products.
Yeah, that's cool.
The Tactical Relief brand, I created all the formulations for the sort of flagship product that came out of there was targeted to help treat post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury in first responders and military veterans. I started a CrossFit gym. I was a director of training for a tactical training company. I was a co-founder and owner of a personal professional business development company. And then in September of last year, I was like, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
And so I stepped away. From the last job that I was doing, the last company that I was with, we had $3,000 in our savings account. And that was the last week of September. We did $100,000+ in revenue in the first 45 days. And gross this year, I think will be close to 5. We'll close at Q4 and find out definitively what it is, but I think we'll be close to 5. And 3 weeks ago, I confirmed a multi-million dollar deal to build a training facility in less than 10 months. In less than 10 fucking months. And
But I think you're just very clear now on what you want. And you removed distractions.
Yes.
Because everything else in the past that you were doing was just a...
It was me figuring shit out, dude. Yeah, it was me figuring shit out.
Once you know what you want.
Once you figured it out, you removed everything else.
Yep.
And you're watching the result of just extreme focus.
Dude, I fucking love
and
it.
And going all in. On your thing.
I think I wish people could realize that if they like one of the guys today was talking, he was a financial advisor. And he's like, I don't even know why I do what I do. I was like, do you like it? He's like, I love it. Like, and that's why you do what you do. He's like, but sometimes I don't.
Well, that's okay too. I was like, every rock star loves on tour every night.
Sometimes I have to poop, bro. Like, sometimes I don't have to poop, and sometimes I do have to poop.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just,
sometimes they're large and it hurts. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes the shit doesn't make it negative. It's just the shit sometimes. Like, it is what it is, bro. Like,
don't overanalyze shit.
Yeah, bro. Come on, dude. If you love it, just love it. What's the actual thing that you don't love? And I tell you, like, restricting. He hates being restricted. And when he said that shit, he was talking to me, dude, like 100%. This is the thing I love about doing this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because as much as we pour into other guys, they pour into us. It's
always.
So awesome.
It's like having kids, right? Because you're like, man, my kids have taught me more about life than I could have ever taught them.
Yeah.
It's true, dude.
You're acting all smart.
It's true.
Teaching you left and right.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, shit, I didn't even. Yeah. That's solid, bro. You're like 2.5.
Well, that's why we told people we were going to be selective. We're like, look, this is an environment that we have to be in too.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't want to be in a shitty environment around shitty people. We're trying to be here to grow and get better as well.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, yeah, we want to be selective about who we bring in the group. So it was the application, all that shit, right?
And he said it, dude.
Curate.
Yeah, well, that's important, you know, man. We talk about recruiting for businesses. I'm completely on a tangent right now. We're just fucking bouncing everywhere.
I know.
We talk about recruiting for businesses, and I was having a conversation with a guy, and he's like, I'm having a really hard time. I was like, it's because you don't have a selection process. Somebody else is doing the recruiting for you, and they're recruiting outside of your core values of the company. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you think? I'm like, you're fucking kidding me? Have you seen the people that work for you? Like, not even half of them meet the core values of the company. They don't align with you at all. Maybe consider what the fuck you're doing. And this is actually a client out of North Carolina.
Yeah, but the problem is when they come to that realization, there's a lot of work that begins.
Oh.
Because then there's a mass exodus.
Yeah.
And then there's a rebuild process.
Yes.
And people really don't want to go through the build again because they're starting to touch a little bit of money and it's starting to get comfortable.
Yeah.
But now you're saying...
Wait, say that word again.
Comfortable.
Comfortable. Mm-hmm. Comfort's poison, man.
Like, and you've learned to be able to bear with the problems that level of comfort or income brings you, that you can deal with that for that. There's an exchange there.
But the right people are there, right? And,
When
you, like, just like you, like, you know now what you want to accomplish.
Oh, yeah.
And when you become clear on that, all of a sudden you're a magnet, dude. Like, you are going to bring the right people to you to help you become resourceful to get what you want to do, because it's not about just you. It's about the fucking mission.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that is, like, a huge magnetic move, right? Yeah. Like, all of a sudden it's like, okay, man, like us with our accounting company, it's like, man, we have like this mission and we want to change the game and we want to do all these things, but we hired the wrong people.
Yeah.
We've hired the wrong people that haven't fit our core values and all that shit. But then once we got clear, all of a sudden, boom, we got Devin who fits our core values. And boom, all of a sudden we're a magnet and all the right people are coming now.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, I had to start over. You said I had to start over 5 times since being, you know, on the civilian side. Well, now that you know what you need to do, you're not going to start over because you're going to become resourceful and magnetize everything to you.
And that's the piece. And we talk, I get fired up about this shit because we're like, oh, I want to change the target. We're going to change the goalpost. No, bitch, the target's the fucking target.
Yeah.
The target is a fucking target. The target doesn't fucking change, guys. Yeah. The target does not change.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's the target is the target. That is it. It is what it is. You set the fucking number, that's a fucking target. Right?
Yeah.
And so, cool. This is where I am. That's what the target is. How the fuck do I get there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I will do whatever it takes within my core values and my morals and ethics, because we could get some, we could operate in a gray space real easy, bro. Like, we could operate in a gray space. But, but as long as it fits inside of those left and right limits, then it doesn't matter the path it takes to get to the target. The target's the target. And the last piece is 100%. I agree with you 100%. I have seen movements explode.
Yeah.
Because the guys leading the movements believe more in the movement than they do themselves.
Right.
Because the movement is that important.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have seen movements explode and then collapse because the guys believe they were more important than the movement.
Yeah.
And that is the number one downfall of a majority of what we see in like personal development spaces.
Yeah.
Is
the me-sha.
It becomes about the me.
Yeah.
And not about the we.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like
exactly right.
in the movement loses the import
yep.
and the individual becomes the primary focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's unacceptable.
Now the group is there just for the individual praise.
That's it.
You know, and for to say, look at me.
Yeah.
I help people.
It's
almost like a badge of honor.
It is,
you know, but the people that are really like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. It's real.
Yeah, yeah.
It's real. Do what you do because you love to do it.
Yeah.
Do what you do.
And it's the right thing to do.
You know, I don't like right and wrong.
I
like right and wrong to an extent.
Okay. Maybe for me,
right,
in my bias, it feels right to me.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Yeah. I can't see it from your lens. I'm not you.
No,
I can't see it from
yours. I like chocolate covered peanuts at midnight.
And I fucking hate chocolate covered peanuts.
While I'm laying naked in my bed.
I prefer sleep. I can handle peanuts,
not chocolate covered peanuts.
Lathered in, lathered in baby oil.
Yeah.
But it's so right.
But if it feels good, then isn't that the right thing to do?
No, it's not. And the reason why it's not the right thing to do is because if you're going for a reception of feeling, when it no longer feels that thing, then you've lost the temporary foundation that you built your actions upon, which means everything crumbles. It's like trying to build a relationship around happiness.
Back to the identity bullshit.
It is.
Identity crisis.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, you know what? I'm doing everything I can do to be happy. And when you're not happy, then what? I want a relationship to be happy. It should make me happy. And if you're not happy, then what? Fuck that shit, dude. Feelings are temporary. Feelings are the worst thing to try and build a foundation around at all. Period. End of fucking discussion. If you are seeking a relationship to be happy. When you're no longer happy, what's the point of the relationship?
Right.
If you're seeking a business, to grow a business, to be happy, what, and you're no longer happy in the business, what's the point of the business?
No.
There's no fucking point. But that's not how this works. Self-fulfillment comes from within. Happiness is a fleeting emotion. There's a difference between a feeling and a state of being. If you want to be in the being of joy and gratitude and appreciation, then when chaos erupts and shit hits the fucking fan and you can still look at it and smile and be grateful that it's happening, that is a state of being. Mm-hmm. But if chaos erupts and shit hits the fan and you're going, oh, why me? Why me? Well, guess what? You don't have a state of being. You are now the environment. Yes. Exactly. Which means that you have just built an entire foundation on a feeling. So no, we don't do what feels good because it feels good and that's what we're seeking. We do in action what we are already fulfilled inside of ourselves to do because it reinforces that characteristic trait that creates fulfillment within ourselves. I don't walk the old lady across the street because it's the good or right thing to do. I walk the old lady across the street because my character and who I am and my identity says that those who are feeble and incapable of providing self-protection have a responsibility from those who can provide that said protection to defend and protect them in such a way that creates fulfillment inside of myself and protection for them for the longevity of life. That's my character. It's the reason why I signed up for the military. Mm. It's my character that says I want to see people succeed because in my success, they can also grow in their success. I have a skill. Thank you for pointing it out. I have a skill set. I have a responsibility and duty in my own self-fulfillment of my mission and purpose to sit down and provide an opportunity for someone else to gain perspective because it's how I already find fulfillment. I'm already fulfilled in what I do. I can do it. I know I can. So I have a fucking duty to provide that opportunity for someone else. I have a fucking job. It's a responsibility because I'm already fulfilled in doing it. It's not about feeling good.
So what's the difference between a duty and the right thing to do?
The difference between a duty and the right thing?
Yeah.
The difference between the right thing is the seeking of feeling.
Isn't your duty to do the right thing?
Are we getting into semantics? Because I love this game.
I'm trying to figure it out.
The difference between a duty to self and the right thing to community is one is driven from within, one is judged from without.
Lost me. I am
Right and wrong becomes a community dictate, becomes a community standard. Right and wrong is a community standard. We have laws that say right and wrong. That's a community standard.
Yes.
That is a judgment or action driven from without self, outside of ourselves, right?
Got you.
Duty is an action based on character traits from within. That's the difference. If I have a duty to take action, it's because my character within demands that I take action. If I want to be right in my action, then I have a desire to have people outside of myself recognize that what I'm doing is right. One comes from without, one is driven from within.
But isn't the individual that is of character believe that that's the right thing to do?
I don't fucking care if they think it's the right thing or not.
Because that's who you are. If that's who you are, then that's the right thing for that individual to do.
I don't necessarily agree with you. Yeah. Is it the right thing to? Is it? Here's the question: is it the right thing?
Would you be honoring yourself by doing that thing?
So that's different. If you're honoring your characteristic traits, isn't that a duty?
The right thing to do.
I'm not gonna say right or wrong. I'm not gonna say it. You know what I'll say right or wrong to?
What?
Pedophilia.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Hmm. So you're saying that that's just too harsh of a line and there's certain situations where harsh lines belong.
No, I think that, there are certain situations where harsh lines belong. But I think words are really important. And I think the verbiage that we use dictate a perspective or mentality that's not only created in our mind, but in the minds of the listeners.
Yeah.
And if you want to say, do what's right, right? It's like integrity. What is integrity? The definition of integrity, doing what's right when no one's looking.
Yeah.
Right. Who determines right and wrong? Is that a within thing or a without thing? Is it? Because if you think the right thing is to eat a fucking box of ho-hos at midnight and you're already overweight and you're not taking action in the best interest of your health and you think it's the right thing to do, but I don't think it's the right thing to do, then is it the right thing to do?
It's a difference of perception.
That's the problem. But it's become subjective.
Kind of what I'm hearing you say is that taking advantage of somebody else for your personal gain is wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Like pedophilia.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Something like that. Like selfishness. taking advantage of somebody else for your own personal gain, right? Instead of like
selfishness to the detriment of another person.
Right.
Selfishness to the detriment of another person. Right. So,
like, do you believe that some people have the illusion that it is a detriment to them when you're investing time or energy into self?
Right?
Like spouses, partners, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I think that's because there's a lot of people that live in a world of victimization or victim mentality.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, you're investing in you to be better. How dare you? That's you're taking time away from. How dare you be better? You're taking time away from me. Well, that's a victim mentality.
Yeah.
That is a victim mentality. Mm. That is because that becomes again, it becomes a subjective. That becomes a subjective perspective on all the ifs of the individual that believes they're being wronged. But if I'm working on being better for me, then I can show up better for you.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I don't think people understand.
This is going to, do you understand that this conversation right now is going to generate so many awesome comments? Oh my God.
I know. We bounced.
Bo, this is going to be awesome. They're going to be like, there is a right and wrong. There is a right and wrong. And you're wrong for saying there's not a right and wrong. Holy shit.
You might get it, though. You know,
it's
not a stalemate. No, I think you can put really true definitions behind it, right?
Like,
the thing is, I think our values align, but we're like the verbiage that we're using is different. All that stuff.
Values don't.
I agree with you.
And
you know what I mean? There's a certain standard and certain values that I believe that there's alignment on, and just how we get to those values and standards, or how we.
Yeah.
Computed in our mind might be a little bit different.
And I can give
and
you
that's what's awesome too.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't matter how the fuck you get there. The matter is that you do get there and you get a standard. You have values.
Yeah.
So that you could have that type of perspective.
It's a good debate as well. It's a good conversation because it forces you to articulate your position.
Yeah.
And I could give you a giant list of things I think are wrong.
Yeah. Right?
Like terrorism.
Yeah.
I think it's wrong.
Yeah.
Pedophilia. It's wrong. There's there's no such thing as MAPS. Anybody that wants to use that terminology or phrase, you can get fucked right now.
Because
there's no such thing as a quote-unquote minor attracted person.
Yeah. Right,
you're a fucking pedophile.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that is what it is.
Spade.
Yeah, it is what it is. Sex trafficking,
fucking
wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Like, fucking...
Well, I'm not a pedophile. I'm just the sex trafficker.
I'm just... Yeah.
You know,
come on,
wrong.
Dude. Like, it's fucking wrong.
Right.
It's wrong. And it's wrong because it robs personal liberty and freedom from another person. And now somebody's being like, well, what about abortion? Well, they go down another road. Well, that's an entirely new debate because, you know, some people say we're talking about two lives versus one life. We could get into every single one of these topics and have a conversation, and we could literally create a giant list of right and wrong. One of the reasons why I try my best not to have that conversation, because then it gets into a conversation about the projection of ideology into another person.
Mm.
And I can't do that. Yeah. Like, that's not my job. That's not my role in this world.
In other words, you want them to find their own perspective. You don't want to push yours on to them.
Oh, I'm going to share my opinion.
Yes.
And I'm aggressively. We'll say with authority.
Yeah. That's like butter it up, make it a little bit nicer.
I'm going to say with authority. Yeah. I'm going to share my opinion and perspective.
Yeah.
And I will share it based on facts and positions and a logical conversation. And with that being said, like, you have a responsibility to find your own perspective.
Yeah.
You have a fucking job to do that. It's not my job to prove it to you. I'm not going to try and convert you.
Yeah.
It's your job to figure that shit out. That's the number one problem with modern society.
Is
everyone's looking for an answer from somebody else.
Yes. Mm.
If we look at all of politics, which is what we see, especially with the left, we see definitive, without any question, like, this is what you're supposed to think.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is not the process of thinking. This is what you're supposed to think.
Right.
Right.
Oh, we're upset at this now.
Yeah.
Be upset at that.
Yeah. And you're not allowed to think differently than me.
Yeah.
Because if you do, this is my favorite. Words are violence. This is my favorite thing. This is a new thing that's come out now, right? Like, well, your words are violence. Nope, my words are words. Yeah, violence is a verb. That's actually requires an action to do, right? My words are words. I love it. So, but here's the thing though, like, you think, don't tell me what to think. We can have a conversation about how you think.
Yeah.
We can talk about that piece. But when it comes to modern society, new startup business entrepreneurs, people that have been in business, we'll say, like, I like to call them middle entrepreneurs, like guys that have created some success and they're trying to reach the next plateau.
Yeah.
They're constantly seeking the answer from without, and they want someone else to provide them that rescue answer. They want someone else to provide them that tactic or that mechanic or that mentality, whatever it is, and do it for them. And like, dude, what, you fucking created it? Why can't you fucking do it yourself?
Yeah.
Like, what happened? Why are you trying to find it from someone else?
I believe that they create chaos because they have a need to be needed or feel needed.
Oh, yeah,
and,
dude.
And that's important to them. But yet they bitch about being needed all the time. Yeah, but, they bitch about the one thing that they want.
Yeah. I've made my position so irreplaceable.
Yeah.
I'm irreplaceable in my company.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, no.
Makes you feel special.
You are irreplaceable in your company. Check it out. Like, that makes you a slave to your business.
Yeah.
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 If you want to have every, why do people start businesses?
They do it for freedom.
Freedom.
That's
freedom.
What that's what they all say.
I fucking love it, bro. And that's, I love it.
And the, you start a business for freedom, but yet you go, like, you have to go all in to the point where you don't have freedom so that you even have the ability to eventually, potentially, buy your freedom.
Yeah, potentially
back.
Create potentially. Freedom, right? Yeah, potentially. Like earlier,
there's still a risk.
A price to pay.
Yeah. 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 And it what
so at what's the cost?
That's, dude, there's a fucking cost
so
to it.
So we go back to the, you know.
And I love that conversation because guys are like, well, I just don't understand. Like, well, are you the problem solver? Well, yeah. Well, how many people do you have to work for? You're like, 30? Do they bring all the problems to you? Well, yeah. Why? Why are they not solving simple problems at the lowest level? Why are they bringing simple problems to the fucking CEO of the company? Why have you not incentivized your team to be problem solvers rather than just problem finders? Why haven't you trained? Why haven't you led, trained, and mentored them in how to properly function inside of their position, utilizing the systems that you currently have, and teach them how to be problem solvers? Hey, dude, check it out. Between this limit and this limit, if it's a problem, fix it. Yeah. I trust you.
Yeah.
However, if there's a possible loss of X amount of dollars or it falls outside of these two left limits, bring it to the next highest level.
Yeah.
Not fucking to me, bro. Don't bring it to the owner of the company. If I'm the CEO of a company, you're not bringing it to me.
It should be leveled.
Yeah, not unless it's a fucking catastrophic loss of rapport with either a client or a potential catastrophic loss of revenue. Then bring it to me.
Right.
However, like, dude, you fucking figure it out, bro. Figure out the solution and apply it. I trust you. Do it. You're going to do great. And guess what? They're going to fuck it up. They're going to fuck it up.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose money.
Yeah.
And you're going to go back, hey, dude, what'd you do? And they're going to be like, well, I thought that this would work. And then I did a thing. And then it's like talking to your kids. And then I did a thing. And then in the thing, and it didn't work. And then we lost money. I'm sorry. And you're like, no, it's okay. Check it out. Let's talk about this. What did you use as evaluative criteria? And they'll be like, this, and this. Cool. These are the things you missed. Boom, boom, and boom. Next time you do this, make sure that you use these criteria as well in your evaluation process to find a solution. Does that make sense? Yeah, 100%. Awesome. You fucking got it, kid. And then you roll out. And guess what? The next time the problem shows up, guess what they do?
Ace it.
Handle it.
They fucking nail it. Yeah. They knock it out of the fucking park. Because not only did you demonstrate trust in your team, but you taught them the process of how to think, not what to think.
Yeah.
And that is the number one problem we have in modern society. We have a generation of people
that don't know how to think.
That don't know how to think. That's it. And now we're recruiting from a pool of individuals who don't know how to function inside the gray space.
So is that why people go outside of themselves for the answers?
Every time.
Because they don't know how to think.
Every time. Every time.
So the answer's not within.
Nope.
So they think, right?
So they think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of times that has to come down to, you know, look, like maybe you weren't taught the process of critical thinking skills. I mean, we know that that's lost in schools today, right?
Yeah.
So
maybe
you weren't taught the process of critical thinking skills. Maybe your leadership inside of your company hasn't taught you the process of critical thinking skills. Maybe you just don't know what you don't know. That's okay. That's the reason why as a leader, you must lead, train, and mentor. Lead. To lead your team, you must give them clear, concise criteria, clear KPIs, clear reporting instructions, and clear deadlines. Also, clear reporting instructions on problems up and down. Okay? Like that's the lead portion of lead, train, and mentor is concise information provided in such a way that is clear with and it can't be questioned. Okay?
Or confused.
Yeah, or confused. Right. Yeah. Train. Train them how to fucking do it. You as a leader have responsibility to train them how to operate inside of your business and inside of the systems that you've created. Show them how to be successful. Train them on how to be successful. Lead them. Clear information, clear instructions. Train them. Train them how to be a success. Mentor them. What the fuck are they doing this for? Right. Why do they even have a job? Is it just to pay the bills? No.
Yeah.
They want to create wealth. They want to buy their new house. They want to get that new car. They want to get that new watch. They want to go to that ball game.
Everybody has similar dreams and goals.
They got something, right? So identify their internal, external motivations and coach them on how to make it happen. Do you want to get major buy-in from your personnel? Lead, train, and mentor them to personal success through the company's success.
Yeah.
If leaders and entrepreneurs could do that with their teams, you would see businesses erupt with success across the country.
Yeah.
But entrepreneurs and business leaders, quote unquote business leaders, keep positioning themselves as irreplaceable.
Right.
Because they find significance. Because it's their baby and they're afraid to let go. Like we all have kids, right? It's you're like, yeah. Oh God, you're walking. This is dangerous, right? It's the same concept, right? You're like, oh, you're gonna jump off the back of the couch, fucking shit. You know, it's, oh no, you dropped the pole on your foot. Like there's,
but it's all part of the process.
But it is, and we have to. We as business leaders have to let go and empower our team to take action. Because if we don't, we will always be a slave to problem solving. Always. Mm. Always. And then you'll be a slave to your business and you'll never have freedom.
Well, right? How many people have you seen eventually do that? And then 6 months or a year later, their business is better than ever.
Dude, it's amazing.
Like, it's so weird. I don't show up as much and it's making way more money.
It's because you're the bottleneck, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. You're the bottleneck. Yeah. You created awesome systems. You have really great people. You never gave them the sovereignty
so
of action.
You got out of the company's
and
way.
Then you got out of the way?
Yeah.
Noted. What does that tell you?
Yeah. Where does the problem lie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Exactly.
Fuck.
It all comes full circle to the conversation in the gym this morning.
It does, so, dude.
You self. Know? And that's what we talked about.
I wish
about.
You were there this morning, bro.
Yeah, I was out on a run with those guys. Yeah, but the funny thing is Adam, the other Adam, he was on the run with us today, and he's like, dude, I haven't even been in the office all week, and we had record-breaking weeks with me gone. You know, so it's so funny we're talking about it, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, it's true. Happens, this is how it goes. You know,
no. Well, we talked in the gym a little bit, and I was just like, man, I just want people to know that they have all the answers.
Yeah.
It's always them. It always will be them. There's resources that you could use, and you could be smart enough to use those resources or put yourself in the right environments that give you a higher probability of success.
Yeah.
That's really the idea, right, is to control those environments as much as you possibly can. And even if it's uncomfortable, you put yourself in an environment that growth will most likely happen, which is what some of these people did. And most often, it's always the message that they don't want to hear because it requires them to do the thing that they don't want to do. And so they come here looking for the secret or the magic thing.
Your foot's broken.
Yeah.
No, it's not. No, you're you know that pain that you have when you walk out? Yeah, your foot's broken. No, it's not. No. Take your shoe off and look at your foot for a second. You can see your foot's broken. Yeah. No, it's not. You're like, hold the foot up in front. Oh my God, my foot is broken.
Yeah. Like, you could have just listened the first two times. Like, you know? And that's what it comes down to. And I just want people to know, as we're kind of wrapping up, that they have all the answers. Stop looking external. I get that people go to podcasts and things like this, but it's very, very important to spend time alone. Ask yourself some of those serious questions. Understand what your values are. What is integrity to you? What is values to you? What is character to you? And then figure out, when you're in weird situations, and maybe the old version of you comes up, ask yourself, what is the version of me that I'm trying to create? How would they react in a situation like that?
Yep.
And eventually, yes, it feels like imposter syndrome because your brain is a record of the past and it doesn't know you as this individual. So it does feel kind of fake a little bit, but you have to go through that process and building the individual that you want to become and just operating as if until you
evolve.
Eventually identify or evolve as that, or however you want to put it, right?
What did he say to who was it? I don't know what he said. It was Mike. Mike said it today, and he was like, I had to kill the old version of myself.
Yeah.
So the new version of myself could emerge.
Yeah.
And another
buddy.
It's
important for everybody to do that one or two points in life or multiple points as often as possible.
Another buddy of mine was like, dude, every night I go to bed, the old version of me dies. Every day I wake up, the new version of me is born. And I'm like, ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
I want to use that.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's good because there's a thing, dude. Like you know what you know. You also know what you don't know. And then you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
I know we're wrapping up, but I got to share this. So I worked for the Defense Intelligence Agency for a little while, and I got read into some, you get read into programs, right?
Yeah.
And so it's all like need to know shit. So if you're not cleared to be in that, read into that program, you don't read in that program. So I got read into the program. And I got read into like 6 or 7 programs at the time. I remember getting read into these programs, and these like programs that were from like the late 80s, early 90s, you know, just like old shit.
Yeah.
And so the first three programs I got read into, I read these programs, and the guy got done, the briefer got done with the read on. And I was like, I didn't even know that that was something I couldn't know. Like I didn't know that that was a thing to not that know. That now I know that I didn't know
that
it. Like
that exists.
That's a thing. That's a real thing. But that's a thing we can do. That's an actual. That makes no sense. He's like, I know. Guess what? What? He's like, we got three more to do. And then we watched the next three, and I was I literally got done, and I was like, I'm very confused right now. I didn't know that was a thing I couldn't know. This is amazing. He's like, I know, but think about this. And I was like, what? He's like, what do you not know you don't know? And I was like, oh my God. Like my head just exploded. Like, whoa, oh my God. And so here's the thing. So I will say this. If you don't know, ask. If you've come upon a problem that you don't have an answer to and you've attempted to create a solution, don't try and reinvent the wheel. Ask.
Yeah.
Ask.
Yeah.
You're not seeking the answer without. You have identified that you don't have the tactical solution, the mechanical solution to figure out the problem. Because let's be real.
It wouldn't exist.
Yeah, like, we can talk about it. You know what? We may have a marketing problem. We may have an advertising problem. We may have a funnel problem. We may have a sales problem. Maybe we don't have a really good sales script. Maybe we don't have a really solid sales process. Maybe we don't have a good lead generation process. Maybe we have a recruiting issue. We may have an actual legitimate mechanical problem that we don't know the solution to.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
100%. Ask the question.
Yeah.
Because if you know you don't know, then find out.
Yeah.
However, the piece that we often don't know that we don't know is the piece within ourselves. And so rather than the first response being, I don't know the answer, the first response could be, not should, could be, we talked about this earlier.
Should be.
Right? With the first response, the first response could be, I'm completely lost.
Yeah.
I don't know what I don't know. I need to get educated on this. So the first response could be, let me gain some education on the shit I don't know I don't know so that I can become aware of the shit that I don't know. So then I do know that I don't know it. And then I can ask the question. I know it sounds convoluted as fuck when you put it that way. And if you're listening, good luck. We're going to put it in like half speed.
Half speed, and we're going to play it three times.
What I'm telling you is don't be reluctant to ask the question.
Yeah.
Don't be reluctant to ask the question.
And be vulnerable with the question.
That's the biggest piece of all.
Yeah. Because you can kind of toy with the issue a little bit at a surface level so that you're playing the game and it feels like that you're trying.
If you're doubling business every year and you're saying I'm having a problem with business development, you're a fucking liar.
Right.
Like that's not the fucking problem. Yeah. That's just the excuse. Yeah. What's the actual problem? Right? Like let's go there. But if you're not doubling business every year and you have like a 1.2 or 2% growth rate, or maybe it's a 10% growth rate, and you have a target that should get you to a 50, 60, 75% growth rate in the next year, and you're not achieving that target, then we have to go back and evaluate what's the processes that are in place, what the mechanics in place, or do you have the proper systems in place? You may not. Right. Okay, cool. Then what's the bottleneck? What's the deficiency?
Yep.
And then we come back to how am I slowing progress in the company? Mm. And if we recognize that the one usually begets the other and they tie directly together, then we can usually create success.
Yep.
Kind of crazy the way it works.
I love that.
Me too.
I love that.
I love this whole episode, bro. Me too. I mean, this is the coolest thing about this whole podcast is bringing us to cool people like you, dude.
Yeah,
this
I appreciate
was,
that.
Honestly, this
masterminding,
was
masterminding. Yeah. Being, again, when you're in the right environments, the right shit happens. I guess maybe it's not the right environment. What environment is it? I don't know. You know, we went through that.
You can call it whatever you want. Yeah. I think that if you surround yourself with like-minded individuals who want to be better, you can't do anything but level up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't level up, you don't get to hang out anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just is what it is.
Yeah.
That's the nature of the beast when you're playing that game.
Yeah. And I want to hang out with cool people that want to be better, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Likewise. How 100%. Do people connect with you, bro? How do people find you? I guarantee you're going to get a response. People will look for Big Mike. Some people want Adam. They don't Big like or what up? Big Steve. Is it Big Steve?
Yeah, Big Steve. Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Whatever. So you're going to create a Big Mike account. Big Steve.
Yeah, we now got to create another account.
Another fuck, person.
Bro, do you just expanding the entire social media sphere might be able to create connection
in
holy
a lot
shit.
Of different ways.
So go to Instagram, Savage Freedoms Defense. Go to Facebook, Savage Freedoms Defense. Go to TikTok, Savage Freedoms Defense. You can go to savagefreedomsdefense.com/SF, Savage Freedoms Training Group, SFTG. So savagefreedomsdefense.com/SFTG. You can go to savagefreedoms.com. Which will have a bio and some of the opportunities on there. You can reach me directly at adam@savagefreedoms.com. And if you go to the website, savagefreedoms.com, I have a number that you can reach me on there as well.
Cool. Right on. Cool. All that stuff will be in the show notes.
Sweet. So, cool. Yeah. And I can send you whatever you guys need.
Yeah. So it'll be in the show notes. These guys always take it down, put it down there.
Love it.
Guys, make sure that you reach out to an individual like this because, like I said and I shared earlier in the podcast, he's the light switch guy. He'll find that switch. He'll make sure that you ask yourself the right questions and that you take accountability. And it's a rare person that has the ability to do that. But just make sure that you're actually really, really wanting that, because some people say that they want it as an illusion just to kind of talk themselves out of the pain for a microsecond. Yep. But they really just don't want to address their shit because it requires work.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And getting a little uncomfortable and admitting some things to self. Yep. Right.
Plus, he can teach you how to defend you and your family against people that look like him. Like, because, like, well, I mean, you look at us and our size. If you came to our home,
we'd
be
like, that's why we come in pain. You
know? That's what, I would need to know how to shoot like him to protect myself and my family against someone that looks like him. Yeah, he's a giant.
Yeah, no doubt. Guys, make sure you take advantage of this opportunity and this individual, just because what I've seen, you know, he's that type of dude. Mm-hmm. He definitely double stamp, triple stamp his ass.
I'm excited for tomorrow.
Business owner Me too, approval. Dude. I'm actually excited about tomorrow.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Can I do a little closing bit? Yeah. So I'd like to look in the camera. We're going to get really serious for a second. I'm just going to get ready. Is that camera angle good? Is that, are we good at camera angle? Yeah, it's really good. All right. You can just stay there, because if you get too close and it makes the face look worse. We're trying to stay slim, right? Because
show the thighs.
Oh, dude, we can throw.
You got thunder thighs.
We do get about like 10% that watch the YouTube. So.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be good. This is going to be good. All right. So check it out. So here's the thing. This is one of my favorite things in the world. Are you?
Yeah, I'm in, bro.
Here's the deal. I'm going to say this to you directly. If you want to be comfortable, that's cool. Sit on the couch, put your feet up, drink your beer. You know why? Because you deserve it. You deserve it after a long, hard day of work, of doing nothing but working for somebody else and actually not creating the life that you truly want. You deserve to sit there and think about all the things you could have done, all the things you might have done if you actually decided to change your life and live it. Or you can get the fuck up and go fucking get it.
Guys, make sure you share the episode, share the love, rate and review. Give this man a shout, dude. He's definitely one of the rare ones. We appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Till next week, keep kicking ass.
Peace.